Hey, everybody out there, how you guys doing? Can you guys hear us? Can you guys give us a sound? Yay or nay out in the chat?
Yep. So, Seepin, so sorry to disappoint you. This is not the Jesse you signed up for, but just as good. Can everybody hear us and see us?
Yay, we got a yay. So we're sounding good. We're looking good. Good morning to you guys out there, wherever you guys may be. Teal Tears, if you find yourself in the morning, then good morning. If you find yourself in the afternoon, then good afternoon. And if it's anything else, then happy where everything else is. I'm Alex, and there's Jesse.
I'm Jesse.
We're here to bring you guys a wonderful podcast today. We've got a lot planned today. We're going to talk about Ubuntu saving the day. We're going to talk about an OTT update. We're going to talk about an OS spotlight, and we're going to talk about a wonderful tool.
A couple wonderful tools.
C-Pin says this is a surprising turn of events. He loves it. That's awesome. I love our TL Tears. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Our community is why we do this.
Exactly.
They're the best part of what we do.
Exactly. It's awesome. It's awesome. So how's your week been, Jess?
It's been a busy week. I haven't gotten much done on the production front, and we even ran into some issues with Linux and production this morning, right before the podcast.
I know, but we seem to do that every morning, and that, you know what? It wouldn't be a Linux world if we didn't have Linuxy things happening, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, my week has been pretty busy too, and I've been dealing with a lot of Linux stuff and doing, you know, and preparing for the show throughout the week, as well as, you know, at work, you know, dealing with stuff because we have CADs going on tables, plasma burning tables and stuff, and they use FreeCAD to program their stuff, and they had a.
So you get to do Linux stuff at work then with FreeCAD
on occasion. Well, it was really funny because it's the first time my boss called me in on it. We were talking about it because apparently he was having an issue with the other CAD program that was I don't remember what it was called. It was not Linux though, and he had an issue on his computer doing that. And I said, well, you could load up this boot drive right here, this thumb drive, and rescue it using AutoCAD. And he's like, what? So I mean FreeCAD. So yeah. So I wound up throwing the thumb drive in, and I wound up downloading into being persistent, right? I downloaded the FreeCAD, so that's what he's been using. So Linux rescued the day at a
professional setting too.
Beyond a professional setting, but it, like, we have $4 million plasma burning tables back there that all run off this, and he was running them all off of that.
So you could CNC machine me decorative stuff for my motorcycle?
Well, yeah, yes, out of steel. It cuts it completely out of steel. Yeah, you have to paint it and do whatever it is you want because it'll be raw little plate steel, but yeah.
Right. What, just cover it in shipping grease and send it off?
Why not? Then you could degrease it and then paint it and all good stuff.
Oh, man. Sounds like fun. It actually sounds like what most of my weekend is going to be after our show today. As you know, I'm just going to be up to my elbows in ear oil and engine grease and
working on that bike. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a classic car I got rid of that. I don't miss those days as much anymore, you know?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about if the viewers thought it would be interesting. I've given some thought to putting together a Raspberry Pi centered dashboard for my delivery bike. If I can make that work, I think it would be a lot of fun.
What, describe what you mean.
Like some sort of touchscreen interface kind of up on the handlebars in lieu of just say my phone or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So it'd be like a raspberry, like a little touchscreen Raspberry Pi with an LCD,
like a car computer, but
yeah,
in motorcycle form.
Yeah, well, I know that they're who is it? Is it Dodge? I think it's Dodge. One of them actually has that as part of their master control unit, their MCU. Underneath the dash, you can just, it's right where you put your diagnostic tool. you know, where you plug in your interface for your diagnostic code, for your code reader. Yeah, it's right behind that, up underneath there. You can see a little touch screen up there. You can, so the technician can do all kinds of stuff, put it in like learning mode or whatever, you know.
Oh, how cool is that? Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I think, on the newer ones. Gotcha. But anyhow, so let's go ahead and talk about the first topic.
Linux saves the day. Well, specifically save the day.
Ironically, I didn't even think about the Linux saving the day at my job. That's funny as hell.
Hey, it's a good segue for us.
Yeah. So go ahead, tell us your story about Linux saving the day. That's your topic.
Sure thing. We don't have any echo from Alex, do we? Feeding back into my mic.
I don't hear it.
Okay. So at my church, I'm the IT director, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tasks that I have had placed on me is modernizing the whole church in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, we had, you know, we have a band, and there was a guy running the mixer, but every week it was, you know, there were different things like that. C-Pin says no, so I guess we got no echo from you, Alex. That's good. We had a soundboard, we had the band, and we had a TV up on the sort of stage area where the lectern is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were new and didn't know the words or whatever, then you would look up there and be guided through either the message or the singing or what have you.
Right.
So one of the things that we did, my partner and I, and mostly her for this part, rewired the entire sound system.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Everything got put down with gaffer tape. The mic stands are color coded to their channels on the mixing board, mm-hmm. and all that. We upgraded the PC that was running the TV.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are being asked to start doing streaming, which means we needed a more powerful computer than what we had.
Mm-hmm.
So the PC that I put together with this in mind is being taken off of displaying words duty and being moved to a production machine. It's basically spec'd similar to the box that I'm joining the show from.
Right.
It's got a 10th gen i5, 32 gigs of RAM. It's got a GTX 1060.
Holy crap.
No, 1650. Mobile,
mm-hmm.
and like more than capable of a 1080p stream, which is all I'm aiming for. So that made me start searching for a donated computer to handle, you know, just the slides.
Yeah.
And so our pastor gave me this. I'll show it to the class here. For those of you playing at home, this is a Dell Latitude 6410, I believe. Let me see it on the back. Something to that effect. Let me open it up. Maybe it's on the inside. I believe it's on the inside. Latitude.
I'll say, look on the bezel.
Huh?
I was going to say, look around the bezel. You'll find it.
That's on the inner bezel. Yeah, it's a Latitude E6410. This thing had a spinning platter hard drive when I got it.
Ooh.
4 gigs of RAM.
Eh.
And a first gen mobile i5 with integrated graphics only.
Ooh.
If you were trying to run Windows on this thing, it would cuss at you.
Well, yeah. And if you open like 2 web browsers, 3 web browsers on there, it's going to scream at you too.
Yeah. So, I thought it was a perfect candidate for, you know, how I've been singing the praises of different forms of Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I gave this thing.
So you put Ubuntu regular on there, or did you do like Ubuntu lighter?
No, I went even lighter weight. I like GTK very, very much for an easy to use experience.
Right.
But I thought GNOME was too heavy.
We did
Ubuntu Budgie.
Gotcha.
And it feels very Mac OS like. And yeah. So I gave it some hardware upgrades. it got an SSD in place of the spinning platter drive.
Mm-hmm.
It got 8 gigs of RAM from the original 4 gigs of DDR3, mind you, that it shipped with.
Wow. So you upgraded to RAM to 8 gigs from 4 gigs, and you're still at DDR3, yes. Which you can't yes. change that because you'd need a whole new motherboard.
Right, of course. So I was able to get around the broken sound card by way of a class compliant external USB sound card.
Right.
And, you know, a little bit of hardware and a lightweight Linux distro has this computer back in service now.
That is awesome.
This laptop actually came from our pastor's old church in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. So that is pretty cool. The only gripe I have is why didn't you put Arch Linux on it? But, you know.
Arco.
Or Arch. Well, any kind of Arch, because I use Arch, by the way.
Oh. So here's the thing. I picked Ubuntu because my partner is one of the people running the media desk in the back.
Sure.
And
probably knows nothing of Linux.
The worship leader's wife runs the slide computer with the words on it.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely Mac people, not my partner, but his wife and him. They are Mac people through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Ubuntu Budgie, especially with a few tweaks, is very, very, very Mac-like. And I went to the point of installing a macOS inspired GTK theme and gave the dock macOS icons so it will feel familiar to her and help her
be able to easier navigate stuff. Yeah. Right.
Everybody knows it's not a Mac, but it's more like just helping her recognize what she's trying to do.
Right. You know, and that's the thing about Linux that I've always touted and I'm very proud of Linux is the multiple different themes and icons that you could actually, you know, customize Linux to. You can make it look and feel just like Windows. I mean, it takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of know-how, but it's nothing that a simple Google search and maybe just hopping on a forum here or there to find out, to figure out what it is that you need and where you need to implement it at.
Without doing it in a heavyweight way, like you can do some of that on Windows too, but you're using programs like Rainmeter. Do you remember Rainmeter?
I do remember Rainmeter, yes.
Or you know, the other skinning programs that run on top of the already heavy Windows.
I remember back in the day before Linux became really mainstream, there was an application that you could download on Windows that helped you customize the theme a little bit. I think it was like Windows 7 broke it, but it was like in Windows XP. I think it was called Blinds or something. I can't remember the name of it. Something like Blinds,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Window Blinds or something like that. Yeah, and it allowed you to really customize Windows. And I remember people going crazy over that. And then that's when Linux started getting better and better with the different desktop environments, you know, with GNOME and KDE. KDE started, you know, coming out with more and more customizations. And then it just like took off. And
for a while there were like 20 different window managers and DEs, and I remember distro hopping for different reasons back then, just so that I could test them without setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Conky?
I do remember. Well, Conky's still around.
Yeah, I definitely used Conky for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
For the sole fact of trying to impress anybody that didn't know what I was doing.
Well, you know, it's really funny that you bring that up, because that's what a lot of people see Conky and they think, ooh, you're an uber nerd when they see that on your desktop.
Right. And it's not.
And it is so not. Like it's simply a system processor and info center, you know.
Yes.
To the point that actually, to me, I hate when distros come with it enabled.
Now see, I like it, but
I think that's one of those things that you should be able to enable yourself. You know,
most people don't have the command line knowledge to be able to configure something like Conky.
Right, but I mean, to turn it off, dude. I never liked the Conky. Like, I know MX Linux comes with it. Some of the Arch Linuxes come with it. you know, there's a couple spins out, or distros out there that do come with it already installed out of the box and you know, configured to run. And to me, I just, I'm not into it. I'm just not into it. You know, I've never been a Conky fan. In fact, I will take Matt's stance with Nix OS that people can tout to the highest mountains how great Conky is and how informative it is and how they love it. And me, I does nothing for me. It's kind of like a useless distro to me. I just don't like Conky. I mean, if I want to see what my system processes are and what my RAM usage and what my hard drive usage is, I'll just fire up the task manager or system monitor.
No, it's window dressing. It's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow,
that's okay.
You know, that's, you know, I'm glad to hear that Ubuntu saved the day, that you were able to customize it to look and feel the way that the people needed for them to navigate easily. In my situation, my boss just was able to actually send work to a million-plus-dollar table out there, plasma table that was doing it. So Linux is doing great things in the workplace. You know, it's just,
absolutely. It's good to hear. You can take a 10-year-old machine and give it a new life where, you know, is it a top-tier gaming rig? Is it going to play AAA titles? Absolutely not, and that's not what we're asking it to do.
No. I mean, well, you know,
it's giving it life. It's reducing e-waste. It's saving on budget. It's giving functionality.
Are you saying that Linux is the key to planned obsolescence? To getting rid of it?
Linux is a tool in the toolbox against planned obsolescence. I would say yes.
Nice. That is awesome. Especially when you could throw it, you know, it comes in so many different varieties that you could throw it on many different lightweight situations, you know, like from Chrome, you know, from like old, you know, like Chromebooks and stuff like that. There's a guy that I know, he's a kid, like an 18, 19 year old kid. And he's saving Chromebooks by throwing Linux on them, believe it or not. Chrome is, you know, a Linux derivative, you know, the Chrome OS. But anyhow, he's putting full fledged actual Linux onto them. So
nice.
Yeah, giving him a little bit more power, a little more beef.
I'm glad to hear it because I haven't met a stock Chromebook that I like. Maybe that's a hot take for some folks, but I don't like Chromebooks.
I've actually never played with one because to me, they're usually little tiny things.
It's not even that. They're so underpowered because they're using, you know, low-end CPUs to keep them affordable. I deployed a few hundred Chromebooks as a part-time gig.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, I did it for a school district.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Arduinos set up doing unattended installs.
Yeah.
It was wild, but the hardware just sucked.
Wow. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and call it a wrap on that. And we're going to move into the next topic. The next topic is actually a distro spotlight. It is one that came out with, it's got a new update out or a new, you know, version out. It's 23.0, I believe, Honeycomb. And we're going to, it's going to be Regatta OS. And so
you previously reviewed Regatta on the channel, correct?
I did. Yes, I did. And I'm going to tell you right now, Regatta OS is a OpenSUSE based operating system that is geared for the gamers at heart. What is amazing about Regatta OS is that it comes completely set up out of the box with game launchers, with Proton already installed and ready to go. It has a software center that is, to me, probably one of the greatest software centers of any distribution out there, to be honest with you.
It's pretty polished looking, I gotta say.
Yeah, oh, it's extremely polished looking. I mean, and it's a Brazilian base, so it comes out of Brazil, and they've got quite a few good ones, and they've got one bad one that everybody knows about that come out of Brazil. But
you scrolled over something, and I want to call quick attention to it, and then I won't hijack you.
You want me to go back down?
Notebooks with hybrid graphics. That deserves a huge, huge shout out, because if you have NVIDIA graphics, chances are it's hybrid. And some AMD setups have it too, but really that's the pain point.
Yeah, and one of the things that I probably should mention in there, because some people may overlook it as well. To install your graphics driver for like NVIDIA, you simply type in the graphics card that you have in the store, in their actual software center store, and it should download the correct graphics driver that you need.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, you search by the actual graphics driver, not just the NVIDIA drivers, and then you have to figure it out. I think they have it categorized down to the actual graphics card, which is nice. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of work been done on this. I actually have this operating system on a external hard drive. Well, not an external, but I mean, it's an actual NVMe that I have, you know, separate from my main drive, and I can, and I dual boot into that, and I actually game on it. When you see me do any of my gaming videos, which are only like 3 or 4, because I don't ever have time to game anymore. I was getting time, and all of a sudden now I'm starting to work 10s. But all the gaming that I've done on the channel has been through Regatta OS. And it is butter smooth. Like your game launchers, they connect to your accounts, and you can just immediately deploy them. And what's cool is when you go into your launcher, you know, whichever one it is, it'll show you the games that you have, and you just click on it, and that's, it runs
really
it.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Lutris is available. GOG's on there. All of it's available, and of course, you got Steam that's on there as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Because where would Linux be in the gaming world without Steam?
Pretty much. Exactly. And then also you have in that operating system, the content creator side of things. You've got OBS already installed and set up for you.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
I think it's the basics. I think it's the basic OBS. I don't think any presets are set up for you, like, you know, different transitions or anything like that. They may have. It's just a standard OBS. I have not used OBS on there. Although one of these days I think I'm going to boot into it, set up OBS and do the live stream from it or something like that. That'd be kind of interesting.
Maybe I'd love to do a gaming session on stream with you.
Okay. I mean, that might be something to do. That's not a bad idea, you know? I mean,
you know, just like a subathon.
Okay.
it's something we do over in Twitch. We'll do sub marathons, playing different games or doing different activities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, I'm down for it. I mean, it would get me into doing some gaming that I have not been able to do for a minute.
Yeah, we got to get you a break.
That'd be nice. But yeah, I mean, Regatta OS is to me, it's an amazing distro. I stumbled upon it because somebody actually recommended it to me. By the way, out there, guys, if you guys have any recommendations that you want Jesse or I to do, go ahead and send us in either Discord. If you haven't joined our Discord, join our Discord. The link is in the description down below. Also, you could send it through here, or you could email me, whatever you want. You know, I'm old school. You know, I cover email. We also got a Facebook page. We have Instagram as well.
And we have being accessible.
And we have Twitter. Yeah, this old guy's got it going on. Well, actually, it's not even Twitter anymore. It's X.
Right. So, you know, that sets up a great joke. Do you remember all the commercials when we were kids that you had your like quality product and that anything that sucked was brand X?
Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
He has definitely taken Twitter into brand X territory.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean,
okay. Do you still like it after the X conversion?
It's funny that you were just going to ask me that, because I knew that was coming. I knew that question was coming. And I'm going to tell you like this. I prefer Discord. Our Discord, you know, between, you know, I'm in, you know, Zero Linux's Discord. I'm in also Zany's and Matt's right. and, you know, also Brody's, you know, Discord and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I talked to all those guys and, you know, Discord seems to be more popular, even though people are trying to move to Element, which I don't get Element. It's like Discord on Telegram or WhatsApp, but.
Right. I've tried WhatsApp. I don't like it. I've tried Telegram and Signal. I don't really care for them.
Me neither. But it's like that. It is what Element is. And I don't know, man. To me, coming up, you know, in my early days, you know, it was Facebook, Twitter, and MySpace. You know, and Twitter was the latest and last great craze, you know, because it started MySpace, then we went to Facebook, and then, you know, Twitter, and it was Twitter and Facebook forever, you know? And so, as far as Twitter or X, whatever it is that you want to call it now, I don't take issues with it because it's still the same in the sense of the purpose of it. You type X amount on there, you put videos on there that you can put on there, you know, that kind of stuff. But as far as like the back end stuff, I never knew it before and really dealt with it to the point that it hasn't changed anything for me. So in a way, gotcha. To me, it's still the same. If that makes sense, just no, it's I an get X it. Now it's an X now versus the little Tweety Bird thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's from, you know, generation, whatever the hell I am.
It's still Gen better than X or whatever. On with toots.
Huh?
It's still better than Fosted on using toot.
Yeah, I heard that. When I heard that for the first time, I was like, wow, people are just farting around. So.
Okay. Rebranding. So, welcome to the Two Dads podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I don't know. Like I said, for me, I still use it to this day. And I watch stuff. In fact, I watched, I'm not trying to get into any kind of debates of politicalists or nothing like that. But,
you know,
Tucker Carlson got removed from TV for whatever reason. People saw fit to remove him. And so now that's what he uses as his platform. And he had, one of the candidates for the presidential debate on there. And it streamed in the first hour, it had 75 million views. So,
right. I mean, talk about viewership.
Yeah. So, I mean, interestingly enough, you know, I guess a lot of people say they hate Twitter, but yet they're still watching it.
Yeah. Well, be that as it may.
Well, like I was saying, you know, a lot of noise died down on it. That's one thing that has changed. A lot of noise died down on it. And interesting is, you know, I follow a lot of on there, like Dark Zero's on there, which is also, you know, Zero Linux. We all know that. So he's on there, you know, there's a lot of Linux people on there. Right. From Serpent OS, which is the Solus guys rebranded, it seems like now, Matt's on there, you know, he was on there. He's no longer really active on there.
Be on there once upon a time.
But actually, now I seem to be getting all their content coming at me the way it should be, because that's what I wanted. So in a way, it's gotten better because a lot of the noise has stopped. It's Twitter, not X. That's right. Josh is in the house. And Serpent OS is not Soulless, guys. Okay, for clarification.
You got to make a correction here.
Yeah, for clarification, of course, leave it to Josh to point me out on my misspeak. It isn't Serpus OS, guys. The guy who created Solus is now creating Serpent OS. And Solus people are using some of his stuff still or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what the interchange is whether... Ike and Josh were Solus and Serpent OS is a separate project that Solus is rebasing to. So basically Solus is not being Solus anymore, I guess. It's going to become Serpent OS. That's what they're using for their base. But either way, they're connected.
So yeah, I guess that'll be a future distro spotlight, OS spotlight we need to do. You know, we can do Solus, we can do Serpent.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so
it's been.
What's the TLDR on Regatta?
The TLDR on Regatta. TLDR on Regatta. Okay. Basically, game on it. Enjoy yourself on it. it's basically set up if you're a content creator or a gamer for you to be able to go and stream and have all the tools that you will most likely need outside of your preferential ones already set up for you out the box.
Nice.
And it's OpenSUSE based.
You know, you really don't hear about
which is very rare
anymore.
Yep. Josh says Solus will still be Solus, but it'll be more similar to Debian and Ubuntu. Okay. And Josh does know this because he works with those guys. He's in contact with those guys. I think he's one of the few dev teams that haven't banned him because of his hacking, distro hacking.
Good grief.
So let's move on to the next topic. You ready for this one?
Oh, let's jump in.
This is the one that could be a little bit on the slippery end of things. It's an update. Yep. BS I hear about OpenSUSE all the damn time. Well, you could come on our podcast sometime and you won't hear about it so much. But the other podcast you do, Josh, is always about OpenSUSE.
Now, I want to say, you know, since we're pointing out little missteps here, I am never going to forget seeing OpenSUSE just spelled as OpenSUS and making all the Among Us jokes. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So, the next topic.
All right.
It is a status update to last week's topic that we spoke about, which is the stuff going on
Linus
with
Tech Tips.
Linus Tech Tips. That's correct. And I'm very happy to bring this one because it's actually a good update, a positive update.
Please.
And for me, let's see. He put out a new video and WAN Show was live last night. I watched part of the WAN Show before I went to bed and I watched the entire video that he put out. And it is Here's the Plan, as it's titled. I've got it pulled up so people can see can see it, and I'll show you. It is on the Linus Tech Tips actual YouTube page. And what I like about it is that it was absolutely informative and very transparent, which is something that they promised that they were going to do in what their plan moving forward is. One of the things that was being brought up was about the repetitiveness, or not repetitive, but the fast-paced breakneck speed of which they were producing videos, and the content was not being thoroughly vetted before release with graphics and charts and that kind of stuff being put up. Well, he addressed that in their
They were doing
week.
Something like, what, 25 videos a week, right?
Yeah. And That's they were crazy. Doing, they did a retrospective week is what they called it as, where they went internally, according to the video and the information put forth, they went internally, sat down with department heads and their actual members and went over all of the different things that they were having issues with and addressed it with each person individually. Taryn Tong, the CEO, sat down with Linus and called him on the carpet on some of his crap. In fact, that's what he opens the video with is, hey, it's been a long time since my boss pulled me into the office and said, what the are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so...
Because Linus is not the boss anymore.
Right, exactly. He now has to answer to somebody else. And so that was addressed. Yvonne and him also a key point, because we all know you know how the labs team was putting out things that were questionable because they needed to put out the videos. Well, one of the major implementations of which they decided to put in was that they were going to take and have a committee I don't know if it's a committee.
Oh,
I can't remember.
ECC,
The ECC, the error correction committee that they put in place. It's going to actually have early access to these videos. They're going to watch the videos, and they are that committee's comprised of people who are considered top-notch professionals in their retrospective environments of computing, of the tech world, like power supply top-notch guy, you know, motherboard top-notch guy, processor top guy, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all, he said, I think there are 5 or 10, I think, I can't remember the number, that are already in place, and they may be looking for more down the road, but just keep posted if you want to be part of that team. You could be potentially on there, but you're obviously for monitoring these lab videos and making sure that the content is going out. They've also went back and demonetized and removed other egregious ones that were out there.
I think that was a good move. Maybe a little bit late, but still a good move nonetheless.
You know what? Here's the thing, man. You know, it's kind of like in the addicted world, you cannot make yourself better if you don't first admit that you have a problem. And that's the mindset that I'm, the lens that I'm looking through to see what they're trying to do there in fixing this stuff. So they've taken a lot of positive steps, and a lot of checks and balances are being put into place to make sure the content is better. And another part of the thing, besides the ECC team, they're actually putting into place where they've gone back and they're actually correcting the old videos, whether it be through thumbnails or whatever they're doing, editing into the videos to make the corrections that need be made. So they're literally going through their, which has got to be a monumental task to go through. To go through their content just to do that. So that shows some dedication on their part. Now, as far as the other stuff that came out after
the asset tracking, I'm excited about.
Yes, that is they're doing as well. The asset tracking, they're doing that in a much better content and fashion as well. And then the HR part that came out regarding Madison's stuff. He didn't directly address it. And, you know, we could only speculate as to why he didn't address it, but outside of it being a very sensitive nature, maybe there's still an investigation going on. Maybe, you know, he's trying to,
I don't think we're done hearing her story.
Right. And maybe he's actually still, you know, trying to make amends some way or something like that and not create more issues in any way, shape or form, whatever the case is. He did address a portion of it, and I feel that it's fair to talk about that because,
What
they did is they reminded their team that prior to any of this, and I don't know if maybe it wasn't just a well-addressed knowledge in the company, you know, whether or not they had made the information clear enough to their employees that there actually the whole time actually had been an outsourced HR department.
Right.
And
now,
then later on, like a few years ago, they actually brought it in-house. They hired somebody in-house.
That was a huge move. The last company that I worked for outsourced primary HR functions. And the most that I can say with respect to that is, as an employee of a company that outsources HR, there are a lot of times, in my experience, where you can feel like you don't have HR.
Well, a lot of it's really funny.
Maybe why they're doing the reminders, because sometimes it feels like they simply don't have it.
Right. And it's something that a lot of companies, you know, tend to, well, I mean, HR is never a good thing. You know, whenever HR is being involved, it's always not for a good thing, you know? And so it's something that people like to cringe at. And like, it's funny because Josh just posted in the actual chat. He says, honestly, I'm happy they're going to open source the benchmark tool that they developed, which means it can be auditable by peer review, which is absolutely true. That's great that they're 100%. Doing that. And as far as the HR thing is concerned, he's right in the fact that he's fine not hearing about it. Honestly, it's not something we really need to know. And I agree. I do agree. But it's something that was brought into the fourth light because a lot of people came out and did stuff.
Right.
And
things are still being said, and we don't need to know the fine details.
Right.
But I think the community deserves to know
that it's in place and that they're trying to make it better. How the
company conducts itself.
Correct. And that's what and that's all I want to bring light to, is that it is in place. It has been in place, just may not have been broadcasted appropriately or in a way that was understood better. And right. that moving forward, they're actually remaining their open door policy as far as they can come to them, him and Yvonne and Tarantone, as well as the HR department. That's good. And so that's where I want to leave that at, you know, really, yep, that they've made strides across the board. Which is fantastic thing.
Hopefully we'll see continued progress on that.
Right, which is a very fantastic thing. And I'm great to see that, because I tell you what, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, I like Linus Tech Tips channel a lot. A lot of his content was good. Not all of it was bad. Some of the things that from being a guy who used to build computers and be an actual tech and doing hardware stuff that I seen, I was like, But in the end, you know, it was entertainment as well. You know, I don't view these channels as 100% godlike. You know what I mean? Everybody behind a camera, you, me, we're all fallible. We make mistakes. Yep. And, you know, I just like that they addressed it. They're carrying forward in a very professional manner with it. And the content is
a better video than the first one with the shrugging and the.
You know, I mean,
just leaps and bounds better.
That was probably a knee-jerk reaction trying to stem, you know, do some damage control, trying to stem, you know, whatever he needed to. But either way, I'm very glad. I'm very glad that they're taking the direction they're taking. And like I said in the last podcast, I only hope it makes them better.
Yep. It's an opportunity for growth.
A thing to mention as well that he did mention in the video that. And you could tell that he was starting to get emotional about it, is how some of his team got bullied by people online.
Oh, yeah. They're still there. The internet loves to take a story. Yeah. And I feel
saddened by that, because we shouldn't be doing that as people. As people in our community, I hope none of our community ever did that to them, because we shouldn't be doing that. That's just not the way we behave, you know.
Vigilante justice really isn't great for anybody.
No. And, you know, it's just not good. And so just if you did that, shame on you. I'll go out there and say it. Jesse has no claim in any of that. Those are my words. 100%. I don't, you know, you shouldn't do that ever. Bullying is not cool. Exactly. It's not cool. No matter whether you're doing it in face to face or through a keyboard, it just isn't cool. You know, so, but either way, that's the story. That's what's going on with that. And I'm very happy to hear that it's, you know, coming to a resolution. We're going to start seeing great content. And this segment was sponsored by LTTstore.com.
Are you serious?
Hey, I just threw it in there.
Way to get us pulled in there, big bro. Man. Let's talk about some tools.
All right. So go ahead. What tool you got for us?
All right. So if you guys are new to me as a content creator on the channel, you may not know the... Oh, boy. That's C-Pin says, people often forget that the internet is full of actual children.
This is true.
Yeah. But yeah, if you guys are new to me and what I do in my spare time and for fun, I like to play guitar. I'm not good at it, but I have a lot of fun doing it. And a few years ago, I moved away from traditional amps and effects pedals and stuff like that, and started looking for different software-based solutions so that I can have consistency in what I sound like. And honestly, just not carrying around hundreds of pounds of gear, because I'm not 20 anymore. Modeling, which is just software-based effects processing, has come a long way. If you guys do play guitar, when Line 6 showed up 20 some odd years ago with the Spider amps and things like that, digital effects did not sound good back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've just come such a long way. And we've gotten to the point now where, you know, a couple years ago, we had tools like Guitarix hit mm-hmm. the Linux world. And it wasn't great compared to commercial offerings. You know,
what's
you
up, had Stormwolf?
Things like that. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's Hammerheart. How you doing? Got you. That's my, he's my admin in, he's my admin in my Discord server.
That's nice. Right, appreciate that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are going to talk today about a tool that I use. It's a cross-platform guitar effects and music production suite called ToneLib. I guess for Tone Library.
Yep, there
Alex,
you go.
You can bring that up for everybody.
I just did.
Thank you. So it is a proprietary piece of software, and I just want to address the elephant in the room there. It's, in addition to being proprietary, it is also paid software, but mm-hmm. there is a 30-day free trial.
Correct, which is right here.
With no restrictions whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it would unofficially be called like Nagware, I guess you would call it.
Oh, gotcha.
When the registration period is over, they will ask you to pay for it, but right. they don't disable it.
Ah, so you just have to deal with the little watermark or something down in the bottom.
Right, the little guilt trip.
Right.
So ToneLib GFX is what I primarily use.
It says more than just an amp sim or simulator. Right. With TLGFX, a complete guitar studio can now easily fit into one app. The sound of modeled guitar effects. So it already comes with a bunch of presets, right?
Yep. And it's MIDI capable as well. So you can use floor-based controllers to switch your sound effects,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. I have actually used it for performances, and it's pretty good. The delays and stuff in switching your sounds really right. comes down to how powerful your computer
and
is.
Looking at the page too, like if you want to add any, you know, like presets to it, there's already community generated presets that you could download and add, like some Zakk Wylde Aussie ones, and then I know Slipknot ones, so you can get that Slipknot guitar effect going on that you know what they have their
right.
set
and,
to.
And some of them are better than others. Some of them are great. Some of them are not what I'll use.
Yeah, that's awesome. Also, different type of amps that you could actually emulate.
Yep. There is a
Marshalloid. So the Marshalloid is probably like emulating a Marshall amp, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. And then they've got the Fender amps. That is crazy cool. I'm looking at high gain monsters as well. Wow. And then, of course, really they've got the pedal support. They got prefects for pedal supports.
Tool. You know, you can put it through your headphones and not annoy your housemates or your spouse or your kids or your dog.
Right.
And this also works in tandem with, say, a digital audio workstation like Reaper or...
But it says no DAW required, but it will work with it. I just got to that part.
Correct.
It's VST and standalone formats is what it uses. It's pretty awesome.
This is not a sponsored episode, guys. It's just something that I'm really excited about.
Sponsor? What are you talking about, sponsor? This is the Linux Tube. We don't got any sponsors.
Right. So all that to say, you know, I think it's cool. And before we get too much, you know, black on, oh, it's proprietary, and oh, it's not open
Josh source. Says, just so you say, Josh says, so it's WinRAR in good old-fashioned shareware.
But the fact that anybody is making, you know, alternatives to, or not even an alternative to, this is commercial audio software with native Linux packaging
support, yeah.
You can download a 64-bit deb package. You can also find it on the AUR. So Arch users, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you can't get it as an RPM, you could always use Alien and roll your own.
Right.
So the fact that Linux even matters enough to the folks behind this project to release native packages, we're not getting, you know, feature reduced, you know, Electron apps or a Snap. You know, it was developed as a native package, and I'm impressed.
Yeah, what is his name? There's a Linux YouTuber that is actually he does a lot with Ardour.
Are you thinking of Umpha?
Umpha, yes, that's it. I couldn't remember his name. Umpha.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I love his content.
Yeah. Josh says, don't use Alien, just unzip the deb and set it up correctly since Alien won't handle the SE Linux flag right. Yeah,
Umpha. He's a music producer and content creator, specifically working with Linux.
With Linux, yeah. He does a lot for the Linux space. And when I was, I don't know if most people know about this, but I actually am pretty big in the Seattle music scene. I actually work with different bands. I manage a couple. I actually, if you go to Facebook and look up Rage Lighting and Effects, you'll see the microphone stands that we created that are light up that we use Arduino to create custom effects like flame effects and digital microphones, that kind of stuff. I do a lot in the music scene. Also, I play drums and, you know, I sing. Actually, that's my main instrument is my Vox. You know, I sing, but I also like have an electric drum kit that you can sometimes see in the background. And I used Ardour for a while to connect it to my Vox when I was doing some, you know, mm-hmm. laying down tracks and stuff like that. And I liked it. I liked it very well. But, you know, I thought about wanting to pick up the guitar and start to learn the guitar. And then I was thinking, well, what could I use? And so I'm kind of glad that you brought this to light because I wasn't sure how I could connect it to my computer. But with ToneLib FX, it should pick up my input for my Presonus Vox. And I could and I could XLR right into that and go use that.
Yeah. Super, super cool. And
That's a cool tool.
I have some Windows based programs that are like this that I've paid a lot more money for.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the sound of ToneLib more than Bias, which I've used for a while. And that's now $300 for a license for the program I have. Wow. I bought it when it was $150. It's up to $300.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but looking at let's go back to the webpage here, and looking at ToneLib FX, I mean, the price that they have here to buy it is $35.97.
Right. That's in the cheaper music, than one guitar pedal.
Right. I was going to say, in the music world, you, as I both know, is the minute that you use anything for any type of instrument, it automatically jumps the price tag up there. In the music world, I mean, like my Presonus software for their you know, music and editing tools all start at like $200+.
Yeah.
You know, so $35.97 to me is not a bad asking price for this at all.
Right. I mean, you could segue again into Linux saves the day and makes music production more affordable.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, you could. I mean, I know that some strings out there for a bass guitar cost more than that. You know what I'm saying? So, absolutely. I mean, in a way, you know, a cymbal on a regular drum kit will cost you 10 times that. You know what I'm saying?
A good set of drum heads. Drum sticks.
Yes. So in a way, I don't think that that's a very steep asking price at all for even purchasing it.
And the rest of the tools on their page do have Linux versions as well. But let's talk about your tool before we go off too much.
My tool. Well, it was sent to me by the one and only Steve from Zero Linux. Bing Adobe asking a sub plus your plugins. Oh, wow. Asking for the subs. Wow. Wow. And music software, Josh says music software is expensive. Thankfully, it's usually one time purchases for the LMX stuff. So, yeah. But anyhow, The tool that I'm going to talk about is one that was sent to me. Now, I have not completely taken a look at it. I've only went to the GitHub to look at it, and it is actually a pretty cool thing. It was sent to me by Steve from Zero Linux, and it's where did it go? Oh, it's right.
Streaming hard, guys. One second.
Yeah, never mind. It is NWG Shell. And what it is it is a desktop environment for Hyperlint or Sway. It is GTK3 based. And I know that Josh was going to, on his distro hacking last night, was going to use it. Did you ever get it up and running? Did you get to that? He's going to do it on, I think, Gentoo. And so basically it is it's a set of tools that actually implement a full on desktop environment, from a settings manager to launcher to Plank and dock, you know, to system trace, to actual window, you know, like a workspaces environment. So it basically takes a window manager for Hyperlint or Sway and converts it into an actual semi desktop environment. And it is got the launcher is like GNOME centric too. It's got a look and feel of GNOME, which is pretty slick. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I might give it a try, because Wayland is still Wayland, and I wouldn't mind something that didn't feel quite as janky. GNOME on Wayland, at least with my setup, I'm not impressed, and I blame NVIDIA for most of that. But I've heard that Hyperlint is one of the better compositors for Wayland.
Josh said he never got it done, and he says, but it can be done next week, though it seems people really want to see NetBSD. Who knows? Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. By the way, Tenley J, you can go to at Tenley J dot stocker or something like that. Josh, or put your link in the actual chat, and you can find out how to get a hold of him. Watch his distro hacking. His distro hacking is actually pretty thorough and amazing. They're very long. I will tell you that now. They're very long. They're literally long enough that you could go away, come back, go away, come back, go away, come back, and still be watching it.
And marathon streamer.
Yeah, they're marathon streams, but they're uber informative. But anyhow, back to the Hyperlint versus Sway. Hyperlint, Vaxtory has done a great job with developing Hyperlint, and it is it's Tenley J. He typed in there, it's Tenley J asterisk. But anyhow, Hyperlint is based off of the Wayland compositor, and it is semblant. It's a window manager, just like, you know, Sway is, all of them are. It is very semblant to, I guess it's not similar to anything on its own. It has its own configuration file, kind of like i3, but it's not a direct plug and play to i3. You know, it has different way of configuring it, but Sway is a direct plug and play for i3. If you're familiar with i3, then you want Sway. And then you could download Hyperlint and then, you know, add it as a second one you can log into and start playing with it and playing with this configuration file.
Yeah, but I remember Steve and I had Voxery on Zero Bytes last season. And he's a cool guy. He's funny. He's sharp as a tack. Like, it's going places.
Yeah, so, but NWG Shell actually... And I will edit the description down below, and I'll put the links to everything in there today after the podcast. It is actually very slick looking. It's very clean. It's very neat. And they've worked really well to encompass everything, to give it pretty much. So it's basically the closest thing you're going to come to a desktop environment on Wayland right now, outside of like KDE and GNOME. But it's a window manager. Kind of it's a hybrid to me, is the way I like looking at it. It looks and feels like a hybrid window manager complete that has a desktop environment feel. So that just comes already downloaded right out of the box. You just go to the GitHub. It's got the installation instructions on how to do it for Fedora, for Arch, and building it yourself on there. So
nice.
And that is my tool of the day.
Love it.
But it's not really a tool. It's more of a environment. Yeah, and it's also, it uses WLR render in for drawing stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's actually, it looks pretty. I mean, like I said, visit the link down below and draw your own conclusion, test drive it. Come back, leave a comment, let us know. You know what it is. CPIN says that NetBSD would be a nice stream. You know, just addressing the chat, NetBSD, you know, and BSD don't get a lot of attention anymore. And they're pretty solid, you know, pretty solid, you know, Linux distros. There's a couple people, Izzy in my Discord, he uses it a lot and does a lot with it. And I think old Hammerheart does too, or has played with it a little bit as well. So, but
yeah, that's not a skill set I have, not BSD.
Yeah.
Well, oh, there it is. There it is.
What? There's what?
Josh coming in. He's not wrong. It's not Linux. It's BSD.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My bad. They don't belong on the channel. It's a Linux channel.
Oh, don't worry. Welcome. You know, the Linux community isn't divisive.
Not at all. Not at all. So is there anything else you wanted to add, Jesse?
No, I think this is a great place to just call it. Let's giggle a little bit.
Yeah, we've gone over the hour. We blew that out of the water. But either way, this was actually, I thought it was great.
No, it's another great episode. I'm so happy to be a part of the team. This is,
I love, you know, what this Josh
is a said. Great project.
Josh said, but they are distribution, so they fall in me corner. love it. Yeah, I think this is I love this podcast. I love our vibe. We're vibing real well. I think that the people watching, I've gotten several comments, and you know, from people that watched it further down the road, that, you know, whatever, they're all commented that they think that it's a much better podcast now that I have you on it than when I had Sean the GamerTube on it, which is okay.
Oh,
you know, but
I'm not trying to make any waves. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, but no, it's not waves at all. I mean, it's just, it's more, we stay more on topic, more on point, you know, we get things done. And so I personally feel that it's added a lot to the channel. And so I'm grateful. I hope the viewers are grateful. And basically, there isn't much more to really say today other than y'all keep doing what you do. Keep on Linuxing, and we'll see you in the next one. Have a great day.